A reading from Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. You may not be aware of this, but there are actually three versions of the Christmas story that we follow here in the UK. There's the Gospel according to Matthew, where we get Joseph's dream and the wise men and the star in the east. Then there's the Gospel according to Luke, where we get the shepherds and the angels and the fact that there was no room at the inn. And finally, there is the Gospel according to Hallmark, in which we get a collection of all the above: the wise men, the shepherds, a host of angels, the lowing cattle, and a partridge in a pear tree, perhaps. But today we're sticking with the Christmas story from the Gospel of Matthew. And if I asked you this morning who the hero of the Christmas story is, who would you say? I guess you'd probably say Mary, quite possibly. And rightly so, because today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we honour Mary, don't we? We honour her faith and her obedience and her courage. But there's another person in today's reading who is quietly placed centre stage, and that person is Joseph. There are no angel songs, no speeches, no miracles. In fact, not a single word spoken by Joseph is recorded in the Bible. But yet, without Joseph's obedience, this story could have gone very differently, couldn't it? So differently. So today, I'd like to look at Joseph's quiet yes to God. Matthew tells us in verse 18, the very first verse of our reading, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So the reading this morning starts with a first century Middle Eastern crisis. And have no doubt about it, this was an absolute crisis. Joseph is engaged to Mary, and they are legally bound to each other. In those days, there was no casual dating. They were legally bound to be married. And suddenly Mary is pregnant. And Joseph knows one thing, that he's not the father. Now we're fortunate because we know the rest of the story, right? But imagine Joseph. He didn't know what was to come. He didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't have the benefit of hindsight as we have. All he knows is that his world and his future have just collapsed. Wow. Matthew then says Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. So he planned to divorce her quietly. Now that matters, because on the one hand, we read that Joseph follows God's law. But on the other hand, we read that he's kind and merciful, and refuses to use the law as a weapon against Mary, which he could have done, but he didn't. Righteousness and mercy meet together in Joseph in today's reading. They're not opposites, they're complementary. So Joseph had made a sensible moral decision. He would divorce Mary quietly. But then comes the turning point, because in verse 20 we read that after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Here is a man trying to do the right thing, and then God interrupts it and redirects him by speaking to him through a dream. But let's be honest, dreams are difficult, right? They're a bit dodgy, I think. I mean, most of my dreams involve being late for something, or being dressed inappropriately for some meeting, or not being dressed enough, hopefully not. Not exactly divine revelation in my case. But Joseph listens, and the angel tells him something really unexpected. He says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." God is doing something new, and Joseph is invited to trust it, even though he doesn't fully understand it. And this would cost Joseph his reputation, his hard-earned reputation. And as I was preparing this talk, I was challenged personally. Would I obey God if it cost me my reputation? Would you? Just throw it out there. Because to be clear, Joseph marrying Mary won't make the gossip go away at all. It makes it much worse. People in Nazareth will do the maths, and they will talk, and Joseph's reputation is going to go down some first century toilet. But in verse 24, it says that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. No arguments, no delay, and no conditions. Joseph only gets the calling. He never gets an explanation that he can tell others. He doesn't know what's happening in the future. He's putting his faith in God. I know a Christian couple who felt a very strong calling to foster teenagers with complex needs. Can you imagine that? That's hard, isn't it? It was a strong calling, and they didn't really understand why they would be asked to do this. I mean, knowing this couple, it's obvious they're a great couple. But they were taken on by social services as foster carers. And soon they welcomed into their home a very disturbed teenage girl who had been passed from carer to carer to care home back to foster carer. And no one could quite work out how to bring stability into this girl's life. So some people thought this couple were mad. Some people thought they were naive, but they were obedient to God, and they believed in that child when no one else did. And it made a huge difference in that child's life. And Joseph does that for Jesus. He believes in God's work, even when no one else can see it. In a way, Joseph is the patron saint of every man who's ever raised a child and thought, "I didn't expect it to be like this." And then the angels tells Joseph to name the child. "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, names really matter in the Bible. Jesus, as you probably know, means God saves. And then Matthew adds, "They will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Not God above us, not God disappointed with us, but God with us, for us. And that's the miracle of Christmas. And Joseph's quiet, humble obedience to God places him right at the center of the miracle of Christmas. Joseph doesn't preach. He doesn't try to explain theology. He just says yes, quietly and faithfully, even though it cost him a lot personally. So two final questions for us as we approach the end of Advent. And perhaps you can relate to one of these two questions. First one's this: where might God be inviting us to trust him, even if we don't understand everything? And the second question is, who might God be asking us to stand by, even if it costs us our comfort or reputation? This Christmas, let's learn from Joseph's quiet courage and make room, not just in our homes, but in our hearts, for Emmanuel, God with us.